go back to my old neighborhood.
Not.
So let's line them up. 888-957-9570. I really do. I want to do rapid fire. I want to hear from our fans, Niner fans. You're hearing all this stuff about Devontae Adams. You know what's going on here. Like, are you in or out? And if the cost is either Debo or Ayuk, are you in or are you out? It's very simple. And then why?
888-957-9570. Listen. You act like you're surprised that people are so out on Brandon Ayuk. We had this conversation all offseason about Brandon Ayuk. I don't understand why you feel so surprised about it after the dialogue we had all summer long.
Well, because I feel like very similar to Leonidas in 300, I was fighting the good fight all summer, basically saying that, like, hey, I see the other side of not paying Brandon Ayuk. I'm not saying that he hasn't earned the money. I'm saying in this offense, on this team, the way they play football, is it a great way to spend money? And, like, the guy had a great year, but it's not like he's had a great career up until that point. Like, when I pay premium dollars, I want to know that you've been a premium player year in, year out. Now, like, you'd say to me, Joe, then you're not going to pay a lot of players. And I'd be like, well, like, top of the market guys better play like top of the market players for multiple seasons before I break them off that money. That's just how I view things, right? And so I was a little skeptical on paying Brandon Ayuk. Did I think he was really good? Yeah, I thought he was really good. But I wanted to see it for another season. And I wish he would have played on the fifth-year option. I know that was unrealistic and probably not fair to him. And like, I get it. Like, what I'm asking wasn't even probably real. But that's the way I would have operated.
We didn't know Devontae Adams.
I was hesitant.
Well, now that I'm thinking, would Devontae Adams even want to come here knowing how this offense operates? Because Shanahan's on record saying, I don't game plan for guys other than Debo and basically Christian McCaffrey, but I'm not going to force feed guys in this offense. And Devontae's used to getting 10 to 12 to 13 targets a game. That's not happening here. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's not. But when I look at Brandon Ayuk, and, you know, I think we don't give him enough credit for the production he's given the 49ers over the last 4 years. 2020, sorry, this rookie year of 2020. I didn't even know this because he only played in 12 games. But I'm looking at just the raw data. The raw data. And the last year in which they end up in Glendale, Arizona. We were talking about this yesterday during the pandemic season. 60 catches, 748, 12 and a half yards a carry, a catch. And how many quarterbacks did they have that year in 2020?
Four.
Jimmy. Mullins.
Mullins got benched.
Bethard.
And they went back to one other guy.
There was somebody late this season.
Yeah.
Who was it late this season that they played? Anyway, 2021. And Jimmy was, you know, erratic as all hell. 826 yards, 56 catches, 15 yards a catch. Not mad at that for a second year in this offense. Then he goes for 1,000 the next year. And I know everybody will say, well, 17 games, 1,000 yards doesn't mean as much. But when you factor in, you had Trey Lance at quarterback, you had Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, and then you had Brock Purdy. That's three different quarterbacks. I mean, that's some good production knowing that you have three different quarterbacks. And we know how Jimmy played at times. We know how Trey Lance played at times. We know how Brock was basically an unproven guy at the time. And then last year, he explodes. So I would say he's had a good career so far. I don't think we give him enough credit for the career he's had in this offense when you consider they don't throw the ball a lot. But your point is well taken in paying a guy when you're not going to force feed him targets. Paying a guy when you're only going to give him 7 or 8 targets a game. I get all that. I get that. But I think the guy could be a stud in this league. I really do. And I think the offseason kind of told us that there were teams that were looking at him saying, yeah, we will love him on our football team. I think the national media, guys like Ryan Clark, other guys around this league, they look at Brandon Ayuk and say, yeah, this guy could be a baller. So let's see what it looks like this week. Like, I'm out of all the guys, I'm going to say this every single week. Boy, it'd be nice to get him a 100-yard game. Boy, it'd be nice to get him some explosive plays.
I don't know. I view receiving in the NFL, and like, I know that the old way, like 1,000 yards, right? Like, I get what you're saying. Like, that's a lot of production, but like with the 17 game schedule, it's not what it used to be. And there were 50 guys in the NFL last year that had 750 or more yards. 50 at various
positions.
How
many guys had 1,000 yards?
29 or 30. Okay, 29 or 30. So that means there's one pretty much one on every single team, right? And I just. when you're getting top five, top six money at the position.
No doubt. It resets everything.
But I want you to be top five, top six year in, year out for multiple seasons, right? And that's the way I really, truly separate the great players. And like Nick Bosa, you know, was top player at his position year in, year out for multiple seasons. And even then, it's like, wow, that's a lot of money, you know, like that's a lot of money, you know? And so.
Did he play up to his contract last year?
No, no. And we destroyed him. Everyone destroyed him, you know, and that's what we did. So I don't know. I just look at the way that they want to play football, though, on defense. Like Bosa is going to be one of the primary players. No,
he's
no doubt about it moving forward. Right.
Important.
So like you pay Fred Warner, top of the position, top of the craft, and the way they play football, he's extremely important. Ayuk's a really good player. But the way they play football is we're going to run the ball down your throat and we're going to try to hit you with the play action and we're going to throw to the open man. So I just don't think it's great business when you already had Debo kind of locked into the money he was making and the window passed itself to trade Debo. Like it wasn't great money spent to give him $30 million a year.
I'm not going to say it's not great money spent when we're only four games into the new contract. I think that's a little premature. Let's see how the season plays out. We're only four games in, and a lot of people said that him holding in, which is his fault, and the front office not getting the contract together and all that stuff done, it's on him. But I'm not going to say, man, this is not money well spent. We're only four games in. I'm not going to do that yet. I'm not going to do that a year less than let's get to November. No, let's get to December.
I'm not saying it on him. I'm saying for me and my football building, my team building strategies, I personally believe – tight end is one of the most valuable bang for buck positions in the sport. When the top of the market is $15 million, $16 million a year, like that's half of what a great wide receiver costs you. I think that you get unbelievable production. Like I'm looking right now at Laporta. Laporta had, what it was like 800 and something yards last year. He was making nothing, right? Like that's part of my equation of looking at it. Like I don't think spending $30 million on a receiver is great money unless it is,
you know what?
Justin Jefferson.
Tight end production right now across the board has been down in the league.
What's that?
Tight end production around the league has been down dramatically. Yeah.
I mean,
dramatically.
Jared Goff has more touchdowns than Travis Kelce.
Sam Laporta is
general, when I'm building a team, $17 million, $16 million for the best at the position is half of what one great receiver costs you. So I looked at the Miami Dolphins business model and I was like, I don't think it's great. I don't like playing Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I just don't. I don't love the way Philly has it set up with Devontae and A.J. Brown, even though I think their receivers are more important to their offense than ours.
Yeah, I do. And I think they're going to, once A.J. Brown gets back, I think that offense will be rocking and rolling again once A.J. Brown gets back. They need those wide receivers. And it's a passing league. You kind of need wide receivers. You need threats down the field. Now, there's some old school teams that are running the ball. But look, as good as David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs are for the Detroit Lions, isn't it great to have Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams face one-on-one coverage? Jameson Williams is catching drag routes, scoring 70 yards.
Yeah, but Jameson he's not up for a contract extension.
Not yet. He's a first-round pick.
I look at the Chiefs business model, the Bills now currently. Like the way it is once you start paying your quarterback, and I know the Niners have yet to do that, but once you have all these expensive parts on the outside, when you pay the quarterback, you go cheap on the outside, considering that the college ranks is giving us, you know, way more playmakers than ever before.
Let's see about Buffalo, because I'm going to give them a caveat or I'm giving them a little, you know, pass for the way they got handled in Baltimore. Short week. They played on Monday Night Football. Looked amazing against Jacksonville. Short week to Baltimore, but they got handled. And they look like they needed some weapons in the pass game. Baltimore's all over those dudes, and that's the team they're probably going to have to face down the line here. Now, I want to see what happens with Buffalo as they lean on Khalil Shakir and a rookie in Keon Coleman who's trying to find his way in the league. Dalton Kincaid is a fine wide receiver. But let's see if they can navigate and win big games without a true, true number one. Now, they don't have a Travis Kelce. Kansas City does.
Yeah.
And what we found out later in the year, Rashee Rice had all the potential to be a number one wide receiver. He started coming on in the second half of the season, became a threat in their pass game. So,
but again, in those business models you're citing, Dalton Kincaid was a draft pick, and
he was a draft
Rashee
pick.
Rice is a second round pick making second round money, and Xavier Worthy is a late first rounder making late first round money, not $30 million a year.
Yeah, but $30 million a year, you can find it. You're playing quarterback $60 million a year; they're not always worth it. It depends on what you like. I think in today's league, you need a premium pass catcher. You really do. Now, you can cite all these guys, say, well, this guy didn't win the Super Bowl and that guy didn't win the Super Bowl. Well, what was the quarterback doing? Did the quarterback throw the ball on time? Did the quarterback throw an interception? Did the quarterback make the read? I would rather have the premium player in my offense as opposed to not having a premium player. Like, I can't imagine going into week one this season without Brandon Ayuk knowing that Christian McCaffrey was out. We would have all been freaking out if that wasn't the case. Knowing that Brandon Ayuk was on the field, I think everybody was like, oh, we've got number 11 back.
Yeah.
It's better to have him than not have him. And you can still afford him. So, I don't know. I think it's a little early to write off Brandon Ayuk right now.
I don't think anyone's writing him off. We're assessing what we're seeing.
So far, but you know what? As Shanahan said after the Minnesota game, he thought Brandon Ayuk played really, really well in that game. And that Brock Purdy missed him at times. And so I go back to that opening monologue by Randy Moss in the receiver doc. We can't control when we get the football. We can't control when the ball is thrown to us. We can't control whether or not the quarterback sees us. And we're talking about Brandon Ayuk completely different if Brock Purdy hits him on the deep route in the fourth quarter, on the go route. We're thinking about Brandon Ayuk completely differently. Like, wow, look at Brandon Ayuk make the adjustment on the busted coverage and score the game-winning touchdown. Don't you think the noise would have dissipated a little bit?
Yeah, sure. But I also think that, like, again, this isn't about one game. This is about, like, how you build your team and moving forward and just, like, kind of synergy and everyone being on the same page. And it just feels a little off.
Right now, it's definitely off.
Yeah, it just feels a little off.
But Tom Brady had his Gronk. He had his Edelman. He had his Wes Welker. Hmm. Peyton Manning had his Reggie Wayne, had his Marvin Harrison, had his Brandon Stokely, had his Demaryius Thomas, had his Eric Decker, had his Wes Welker in the slot. Ben Roethlisberger had his guys, right? Hines Ward, Antonio Brown, whether it's Mike Wallace, whether it's Antonio Holmes, he had his guys. Don't we kind of want Brock Purdy to start to build synergy? Now, he's doing that with Juwan Jennings, but don't we want Brock Purdy to just have a guy knowing that, hey, on third down, I could get this guy the ball. He's going to make a diving catch.
Those other offenses, though, they like, you know, it's Brady pointing at the line, and I'm going to throw to this guy, and he's going to change his. The Niners' offense is like, we throw to the open guy. It's just different. The way the Niners play football is very different than a lot of those other teams. And, like, as Brock has kind of showcased, like, whether it's Chris Conley in a playoff game or Juwan Jennings in week three, like, if you're open, I'm going to you. You know, Saubert catching passes on a final drive. Like, if you're open, I'm pretty much going to go to the open guy if you are running the proper route.
Let's go to Larry in the city. Larry, what's happening?